Welcome to Examining Scripture. We seek to encourage believers in Jesus Christ to drink from the Word of Life. As God's revelation to mankind, we want to demystify the Bible and help you find what God has to say about the circumstances you're facing. We're not pastors or theologians. We're sinners just like you who, by the grace of God, have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. If we can thirst for Scripture, so can you. Hi, I'm your host, Bob Redd, along with co-host Ann Burke. Thank you for joining us in another episode of Examining Scripture. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Have you been praying continuously since we talked the last time?
Well, in the sense that we talked about continuous prayer, yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah.
Well, very good.
Yeah, it's one of those where I'm always praying when I get up and thanking the Lord for the new day. And the thing I do at night is just thanking Him for the day I've had and be able to wake up to a new day and to be a part of His kingdom in this world. So yeah, I think I do.
Always good to start and end the day with prayer.
Amen to that. Speaking of prayer, this is the second of a two-part series on prayer. Last series or last podcast in May, we kind of took a high-level view of prayer first, kind of talking about what is prayer, how do we pray, what does Scripture say about prayer and how we should pray. And then we read a few prayers that were in the Old Testament, particularly a prayer of David's, which was Psalm 51, and also a prayer of Daniel. It was in the second chapter. Yeah, so we reviewed two specific prayers in the Old Testament, and there are many, far more than we could have done justice in a podcast. And as we talked about in the last podcast, prayer is a form of worship. It's also a way in which we can go before living and true God, the holy God, our God, and to build our relationship with Him by speaking directly to Him. In that, and it was very interesting, you brought up something that I thought is important enough that I want to cover it in more detail here. You said when we pray, we have to also listen for God or listen to God. And so my question for you is what you were saying, that we need to allow time in our prayer for silence to see if we can feel the presence of God and perhaps feel or hear a response from Him? Or were you saying that we have to, in our prayers, give God time to respond, which may be sometime after our prayers, or it could in some cases be significant time after our prayer? So what were you saying there?
Well, the idea that I was trying to convey was that prayer is a conversation between two people, right? And when you say to your friend, let's go have lunch, it's not necessarily about the food. It's about you and the other person being together and being able to talk. Now, Bob, if we went to lunch and you talked the whole time and I didn't get to say a word, that wouldn't be a very fun lunch, right? In a conversation, this one person talks and another person listens and then you take turns. And so I think it should be the same way with prayer. When we come to the Lord in prayer, it shouldn't be just reading down a list. Lord, you're great and I love you. And can I have this and this and this and that and that and the other thing? Goodbye, have a nice day. I think there should be times where we spend time. I think that some prayers can be short and sweet and to the point. But I think there are other times where we really need to become quiet and still before the Lord and share our heart with Him. Tell Him what we're thinking. Tell Him what we're feeling. Tell Him what we're afraid of. Tell Him where we need guidance. Tell Him, Lord, I don't know what decision to make in this situation, and I need your wisdom. And when we pray those prayers, at some point, we need to be quiet and listen for His answer. And we talked last time about sometimes He answers yes right away. Sometimes He answers no. Sometimes He says, you're going to have to wait for this answer. And so when we pray the prayers in that moment, if we have time and we can be still and listen, that's great. But like you said, sometimes the answer doesn't come in that moment. And so we need to be watching and waiting throughout the next days as God works in the world around us to see, oh, I think that's God telling me I shouldn't do this, or I think that's God telling me I need to talk to that person, or I think I'm sensing the Holy Spirit moving me in this direction. And I think that's part of the prayer. That's part of the conversation with God. That's the hard part for me, is the getting still and the getting quiet and the listening. I'm very good at going through the list of prayer requests and saying, God, can you please take care of this? Can you please help this person? Can you please heal that person? But it's the listening, I think, that is the challenge for a lot of people.
I really am glad you said that because you're saying a couple things there I want to take a little deeper. And it's very personal for me. So, like you say, prayer can be a petition, a request. Lord, this is what's on my heart. This is what I'm seeking from you, guidance, whatever. And I'm pretty good at those prayers. I think what you're saying is that. Is it's still prayer, but a type of prayer that maybe we would call meditation.
Yes,
And
I think that's one way to describe it.
so for Bob, meaning for me, that's a very difficult thing for me. And I say it this way. It's not that I can't sit there and give time for the Lord in prayer. I try to do it actually and say, okay, I've this is heavy on my heart. I want to linger with the Lord for a 5 minutes, for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever the time frame. And I make my prayer, I'm talking to God, and then I go silent, kind of just letting what I've said and what I am seeking from Him to sort of sink in. And then all of a sudden, the silence turns into a whole lot of thoughts in my head that have absolutely nothing to do with speaking to God.
The same thing happens to me. It's my to-do list for the day. My brain goes everywhere. It is really hard to focus in, block out every other thing. And I think that's a spiritual discipline that we need to practice. I'm not very good at it yet. My husband has had more training and practice, and I want to say he's better at that than me, which is probably a silly way to say it, but it's something that I still need to strive for and work at, just like you.
Yeah, so I don't think that's a bad thing to say that he's better at it than you. Pat's clearly better at it than me, and I think that's a good point. I want to say I get discouraged or frustrated with my mind intervening in this time that I want to give to the Lord, and maybe it's because of that frustration that I don't do it enough. It's sort of discouraging me rather than encouraging me. And maybe, and this is for you, the listener out there, maybe what I'm trying to say is like me, we all have to work that prayer muscle, if you will. We have to build up that discipline and don't be discouraged. And it's an encouragement for me here now, just even talking about it, because I hadn't really thought, why am I so poor at it, and why do I get so frustrated? And it's frustrating because I do let my mind wander.
Well, I think when you talk about it as a spiritual muscle that needs to be exercised, I think that's a good analogy. And I think spending time in prayer with God is certainly something that He desires. Because He knows it's good for us, and we
Right.
have the Holy Spirit to help us. And it's sort of like if you're learning to play the piano and you practice a little bit. At first, when you're practicing, it's not going to sound that great. But the person who's encouraging you to take the lessons is like, keep going, practice a little more. Like, they're happy when you practice. So I think even when we try to pray and get quiet before the Lord, when our mind wanders and we get distracted, God is still happy that we're making the effort, and He's still there to help us get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little better.
Yeah. The other thing that you said, I think I'm actually a little better at, which is the quiet of waiting for God in response to prayer. It really requires, I think, two things. One is a belief that God may not answer the prayer exactly the way we've requested, right?
Right.
But because of our faith, because we understand that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, that whatever the response that he has towards our prayer is going to be infinitely better than perhaps what our petition actually or request actually was. And the second part of that is to have the confidence and the patience that in time God will reveal it. And if it's not revealed, it wasn't in God's plan. And we're also comfortable with that.
Yes, when you know, when you believe that God is sovereign and that his purposes are never going to be thwarted and that he has good things in store for his people, and you can define good a lot of different ways, but when you trust in the Lord, then you grow to be more okay with an unanswered prayer or a prayer that didn't go the way you were thinking or hoping it was going to.
Yeah, and that's a really good segue. In the last podcast, we used a few examples out of scripture that explain what prayer is, how we're to pray, and our attitude towards prayer. And one of those was out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. And it says basically, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And so there's another writing from Paul in Philippians, and I'd like us to go there and have you read that. It's very similar in its outline, where Paul is really encouraging us to be joyful, to pray, and to be in God's will. And that's chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 4 through 7. Can you read that for us, Anne?
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
We haven't really talked about that in much detail, this concept of peace of God, but when you take time to purposely sit down and give God your time by trying to commune with him in prayer, do you feel that sense of peace that Paul is talking about there in Philippians?
A lot of times I do. I've heard somebody say that prayer, when you pray, you're not trying to change God's mind to meet what you want to do. You're trying to change your attitude and your mind and conform it to the will of God. Anytime we spend in prayer, opening our hearts to the Lord, sharing our requests with him, I think there's just a peace in knowing I've spent time with the Lord and he cares about me and he's heard my prayers and he's going to answer them at some point, in some way.
You know, that's interesting because for me it's quite circumstantial in the sense that the heavier my heart, the heavier the matter that I'm taking before the Lord, just sitting down and being with him in prayer, whether I'm making a specific request or petition, or whether I'm just at my wit's end and say, Lord, just come beside me, help me with this. That very act is for me personally incredibly peace giving. I like the way you put it. For me, it is a resetting of my mind. It's saying, okay, I know you have this, Lord. I know you've put me in this position, in this situation, the season that I'm in that may be difficult, and I trust you. I know that I'm here for this purpose, for this place, and this time, for this reason. And the reason may not be clear to me, but many times it's helping me uncouple my personal need, or I guess me saying, okay, I can handle this alone, right? Or I can manage this, maybe is the way to put it, to saying, I really can't. I don't know where this is going. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And in going to prayer, I do feel that sense of peace that, okay, I don't have to figure this out. in the sense that I don't know what the outcome is. What I do know is I have to embrace where I'm at, full well knowing that the more I leave it in God's will, that his plan and the outcome from this is going to be so wonderful. And my analogy is that in those times, and they don't always have to be troubling, they can just be challenging, right? But in those times, I liken it to where I've been on one side of a bank of a river, and I go into the river and I start to swim, and the current comes and it's a difficult swim. And it's really only when I've reached the other side and climbed out of the river, and I look back and see where I've come from and say, gee, I don't know what I was really seeking, but where I am now is infinitely better because God is in it and part of that. And I become a much stronger, a much better individual. And I think ideally to be more useful to God in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, those are really great reflections. A lot of that I can identify myself with also. I think one thing you talked about was the weight of the circumstance. And I think, a peace is a hard thing too, because sometimes we feel great sense of peace and sometimes it's a little more elusive. And there are issues that I pray about. Like my kid needs a summer job. So he's been turned down by one place. And so that was a little bit disappointing, but I will pray that he will find the right summer job and that he will learn good skills while he's there, but I'm not really worried about that. So I can sort of pray about that and put that out of my mind. But like if somebody that I love is very ill, or somebody that I'm praying for is in a really bad spot, I can pray about that, but that it stays on my mind. So like it's not just I'm going to pray about this and set it aside. It's going to still be on my mind, and I'm going to be thinking about this throughout the day until the situation is resolved. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm anxious about it. I think I still feel peace in some of those situations, knowing that God is control, but it's still there in my mind. I'm thinking about it. Those are the times where it's the short prayer here and the short prayer there, and as God keeps bringing it to mind. It's those little sentence prayers throughout the day that just keeps, the pray continuously part as you go through the day.
And so, one of the things that Paul wonderfully adds at the end of that is, the peace of God, which transcends all comprehension or understanding. And then he says, well, guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying there?
The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I think there is a mystery to God, and some of that has been revealed to us as believers, but there's still a lot that we don't understand. But we trust that he's working, and we trust that his ways are best. We trust that he has it all in control. And some people would say, how do you even believe in this? Why do you even waste your time, right? I think there's a lot of that that transcends human understanding, but God is going to protect our heart and our mind. The more we spend time in prayer and give situations over to them, I think the less the enemy is able to touch those and influence those.
For me, Paul is reminding me in that last set of the verse that we're spiritual beings, that in the end, as believers, we have the ultimate hope, which is to one day be as God is, meaning we will be like him and we will see him for how he is. That's what 1 John tells us. John tells us in his letter, 1 John. And the reference to our hearts and minds, when you see that in scripture, that really gets to the core of our soul, to who we are. And that guarding that Paul's talking about there, naturally as believers, we have the helper, the Holy Spirit within us. And so it's really talking about when we go before our infinite and great God, we're truly communing with him. And we're communing with him at a level that is really spiritual. It is within the very fabric of who we are. And I think we read in the last podcast from Romans 8, where it talks that about how the Spirit intercedes for us with prayers too deep for words, right? And I think that's really, again, what Paul is reminding us, that this guarding, if you will, is a spiritual guarding. And while our requests many times in prayer are sort of this world centric, because we are human beings in this world, that it's also a reminder of this beautiful hope that we have the helper, the giver of life, the Spirit within us. And it is through this inner connection that we have at the core of who we are that allows us to have this genuine, this awesome, real relationship and conversation with the true and living God. We're about to tackle maybe one of the most difficult prayers in all of Scripture. I want to draw our attention to Matthew 26, verse 39. Where Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Lord, if you can take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done." Maybe this isn't fair for this conversation and this podcast, Dan, but is it fair for us to compare ourselves to the holy God, that's Wholly, holy God and holy human, Lord Jesus Christ, and this is a petition on his part to the Father. What's so beautiful about that is he's God. He knows what he's about to face, the cup that he must drink from, right? And yet that humanness in him says, "Man, do I really need to face this? What's going on there? What's Jesus showing us in that moment of prayer with the Father?"
Well, I think he's showing us that it's hard to obey sometimes. Jesus knew what the plan of God was. This was designed from the beginning. Now you're finally in the moment. It's not always easy to obey the Lord. His will for us is not always easy, but the struggle is worth it. If Jesus was willing to go through the hard thing and obey his Father, then we ought to be also willing to go through the hard things and obey, even though we'd rather not.
Yeah, I think we see the humanness of Christ there. Look, we don't want to face difficult times. We don't want to face hard decisions. We don't want to change. And Christ shows and models his humanity in that moment. And at the same time, he also, in his humanity, recognizing he full well knows the plan of the Father that he has fully taken on before he came to this earth, that this must come about. And yet he demonstrates for us this willingness that we too can be bold and we too can say, "Okay, I'm going to trust you, Lord, that the outcome is so infinitely greater." And if we think of the work on the cross and we think of the resurrection, by walking the walk that Christ walked, the walk to the cross, has completely changed humankind. That's an important model for us, isn't it?
It is an important model, and it's also something that we can be very grateful for as part of the always being thankful that Christ made a way for us to be reconciled to the Father, and that it took a very difficult road in order for that to happen.
Yeah, so we have a whole list of examples of prayers in the New Testament. I don't know that we're going to have time to get through them all, but I want to start with two that are prayers of thankfulness, and they're both found in the Gospel of Luke. One is known as Mary's Magnificat, and that is Luke 1, 46 through 55. It's Mary praying to the Lord in praise for what he has done through her as the virgin birth of her son, Jesus Christ. So, can you read that for us, Anne?
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of this humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.
Yeah, when something really tremendous and wonderful happens to us, I'm not sure in our daily working we are quick to turn to the Lord and be thankful. But
I
that's
think
what.
that's something that happens the more you mature and the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you realize, oh, he did that for me, and we're quick to give thanks.
Yeah, and to give credit, right? We're thankful for what he does, and Mary models that for us in that prayer. And what's interesting is first, she's praying out of humility that she was this humble servant, but she also looks at it from a national standpoint that this is God working through the fulfillment of her people, Israel. I love that. I love that not only was she saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this that you've done in using me, your human vessel, but thank you on behalf of my people." Now the translation for could be for us, you know, how thankful we are that, you know, God has provided us a particular provision and it's benefited our family, so forth and so on. But I think that's really the wonderful part of Mary's prayer is her humility in the sense that not only is this wonderful thing you've done in using me, your servant, and giving me this pleasure, but it's also to, in this case, her family, the nation Israel. And there's another part in Luke. It's in chapter 2, 29 through 32. And there's this guy we know very little about called Simeon, but his prayer reveals a thankfulness. This is someone, and we've talked about it already here in our podcast, this idea of waiting on the Lord. And in this very short story that Luke shares with us, this guy Simeon has been waiting to see the Messiah. It's the kind of prayer that you just might not think will ever come about. It's a sense that Simeon, his whole life, has been saying, "Lord, I want to be able to witness your Messiah." It's such a heart for seeing and being a part of God's plan unfold, that plan that is the Messiah that's talked about throughout the Old Testament, what we know as the Old Testament. His prayer reveals that this isn't something he just requested yesterday. And it's interesting to see that however long he's been petitioning God, God answers his prayer. So can you read that for us, Anne?
Verse 28. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
Yeah, so when he says that you promised, isn't that an expectant heart of prayer?
It is.
Simeon must have known that, you know, I can ask and ask in God's will and you'll receive, huh?
Well, if we go back to verse 26, it says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So just that the Holy Spirit had revealed this to him and he clung to it. He believed that God would keep that promise. And now here is the day. And what an amazing day this must have been for Simeon.
It is. And what an amazing message for us, right? We were talking earlier about sometimes our prayers are meant to be prayers we trust God will answer. It's okay to wait on His timing.
Hard, but good.
Yeah. Well, let's look at a couple of others. I'm not sure we'll be able to get through the list, so we'll skip around or skip through them. Let's start in Romans chapter 1. I think what I want to say about what we have planned to read is if you're reading any of Paul's letters, That's Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and so on and so forth. Paul makes a point to say a short prayer in his letter or to inform the people who are receiving the letter that he's praying for them. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, 8 through 12.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith.
Yeah, now this is an example of what we would generally call a short prayer. And it's highly specific. He wants to come to be with them. It's just another example that prayer doesn't have to be a formula. It certainly can encompass all of the things that we see in the Lord's Prayer, which we talked about last podcast in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. But it needn't have to be, does it?
It doesn't. And it doesn't have to be super specific. I mean, Paul's asking that the people that he's praying for would be strengthened by a spiritual gift that the Lord might give them and that they would be mutually encouraged. And I think it's when we are with fellow believers, encouraging one another is something that we should strive to do.
Now, let's jump down and look at Peter. Here's another different writer, obviously. This is Peter, the leader of the disciples. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, he also shares a prayer with his readers.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I like this prayer because it's focused on eternity. When I sometimes pray for my kids, it's Lord, please keep them safe, please keep them healthy, please help them pass the test. But I should be saying, Lord, give him wisdom, make him strong, help him follow you all the days of his life. Prayers that we pray for other people to strengthen them spiritually and to help them develop the gifts that God has offered to all of us so that we can make it through these little griefs and all kinds of trials and overcome all that and live victoriously in eternity forever.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I'm not sure I could add anything to that. Let's look at another writer. This is John, again, another disciple in 3 John, his third letter. It's a single chapter, but in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4.
Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Yeah, now that prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. A lot of times we pray for others and we pray that their circumstance may improve, that maybe it's a health issue or whatever. And this is a very different prayer in that sense, isn't it?
Well, yes, they do touch on the health a little bit, but more importantly about your soul and about people being faithful to the truth and walking in the truth. That's a great prayer to pray for someone.
Yeah, it really is. I like that. And again, we're told to pray without ceasing to be thankful, right? And that prayer covers that in the sense that John is thankful for his children, as he calls them. And the final one, and I think we'll wrap up the podcast on this one, Anne, and it's one of my favorite. Again, it's a doxology. We could use a podcast going through the many doxologies or praises in Scripture. And the doxologies can also be considered a form of prayer. So, for example, in the Old Testament, a doxology is found in Psalm 19, verse 14, where it says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my lips be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer." That's a beautiful, that people use that, have used that as sort of an ending for their prayer. So it's a doxology, but it certainly is very effective and useful as something to be used in your prayer. Jude is a very little-known book of the New Testament. It's the last book of the Bible, again, a single chapter found right before Revelation. Jude talks about a very difficult subject, warning believers that this is a dark world and we need to be careful. And yet he leaves it at the end of his letter on such an encouraging note, and that's verse 24 and 25. Will you read that for us, Anne, please?
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen to that. That speaks to us, doesn't it, Anne?
It does. There's a lot in those little two verses, and it's all good.
Yes, it is. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed the last two podcasts, and hopefully it's helped to show you where others have prayed and used prayer in Scripture. There's much more to be found as you search the Scriptures, and we hope that our podcast here and last time has helped you better understand your own prayer life, and maybe been an encouragement that, gee, why don't I pray more, or why is it difficult to pray? Well, hopefully Anne and I have shared with you that it's not always easy, and we can all get better at praying, but as my dean at the Episcopal Church years ago said, if we're praying without ceasing, we're erring in the right direction. So Anne, will you take us out in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to talk together about prayer. Lord, it is such an honor to be able to talk to you and to be able to tell you the things that we're worried about, the things that we are wrestling with, the situations that we have no control over. Lord, we know that when we come to you, you hear our prayers, and we're so grateful. Lord, we trust that you will answer our prayers in the way that you know is best, best for us, best for bringing glory to yourself, Lord, because we know that you are the one who deserves all glory and praise and honor. And Lord, we just thank you for the Bible and for the many verses that it has about prayer. Lord, we pray that when we're struggling, that you would show us by your Holy Spirit encouragement from your words that will help us to persevere and overcome. Lord, we pray that you would give us courage and boldness to pray for other people. We pray that you would remind us when we need to pray for someone else. And we pray that you would help us be continually open to your Spirit's leading and all about all these things. Lord, we want to walk in your ways. We want to follow your example. We just want to say that we believe and we trust you are the one who hears and answers us. And we love you. We thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. Well, there you have it. We've enjoyed our conversation today and hope that you feel more equipped to examine Scripture to find what God has to say about the important circumstances you're facing in your life. Until next time, examine the Scripture, drink from the Word of Life, and let the Bible feed your spirit.